Am I on?
Yes.
You're on.
Thank you. Thank you. Stacy, would you come up and pray over the word, please?
I was reminded that today is Mission Sunday.
Okay.
And we normally receive a second offering. I know some of you come prepared to put something in the second offering for missions. Also, just know that at any time you can put an offering in the basket, you know, for missions. But we do like to, on the first Sunday of the month, we like to dedicate a special offering just for our missionary work as we support those around the world and here at home. So I'm going to ask the brothers to come forward one more time. This is the only time we take a second offering. Hallelujah. And, you know, we get those reports each month, and they're doing a mighty work out there. They really are. You know, I think of John Cava, who's now become a very big missionary in Italy. But he's being invited from there. He's being invited to Germany. He was just invited to someplace in North Africa. I forgot where it was, and he went there, and there was, he said it seemed like a million people showed up for this this gathering. But work is being done. Your offerings are going specifically for that, and we thank you for your faithfulness. So, Father, once again, we ask you to bless this offering, Lord, and when it arrives to the missionaries that who you have called, both abroad and at home here, Lord, that they would use it, Father, and souls would be coming into the kingdom because of the giving of your faithful people. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
If you would turn or open up the word in whatever device or book you have to Matthew 11. We're going to go to 28, 29, and 30. And if you would stand with me. Thank you. Matthew 11, 28, come to me. Jesus is speaking. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, would you open up the word by the power of your Spirit and give us such a new understanding, such dimension, such clarity, God, a new understanding of, Father, scriptures that we have read over and over, or we have heard messages on over and over. But Father, there's no end to your depth. There's no end, oh God, to your glory, God. So give us great understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Sit down. So I want to talk about excuse me. I want to talk about resting in the Lord. There's a resting place for each one of us. And it's so important to be able to all of a sudden go into that place, you know, look for that place, get in that place, no matter what's going on around us. There is a place, a resting place for all of us all the time. And I pray that we will, as time goes on, find that place, that personal place, resting place. How does God give us rest? You know, as we know, spoken in the Word about the end times and how things are going to get worse, but during these times, how can we live and rest with peace? I think we have to keep going. We have to develop a resting place and keep going back to that place. And actually, even carry that place around with us. There is a place. Amen? You know, maybe you have a specific place in your house where you pray. Maybe it's your bedroom. Maybe it's the living room. And the Word of God says to close the door. And it's where to develop a place. But then it's a spiritual place. It's not just a physical place where you could sit down and open up the Word. It becomes a spiritual place, right? And we're to carry that place. Acts 2, 42. When I think of the book of Acts, and we realize that all of a sudden, a number of people who were walking with the Lord, kind of like rubbing shoulders with him, hearing his voice in person, all of a sudden, he's gone. And so they're told, wait till the Spirit comes. So they gather, right? They gather together, and they're waiting, and weeks are going by, and 20 days, 30 days, 40 days, and they're waiting for something special to happen, something that's going to come into them and give them strength and give them power and give them anointing. So they're waiting, and the Spirit of God, they're waiting on the Spirit. They're waiting for something to happen. All these different people in one room waiting for the same thing. And all of a sudden, a mighty rushing wind comes through, and the Spirit of God falls on each one of them. And now they're speaking in tongues, and now they're going out. You know, they're coming down, and they're going out, and they're starting to do things they never did before. They started to preach. They started to lay hands. They started to heal. And all of a sudden, that power came in and filled them, the Spirit of the living God. Nothing better. Nothing can help us more in these days and in the days to come than his presence, his voice, his direction, his strength, his power, his anointing. We have to really receive, believe, and receive, and go after him more and more. It is a he, amen, the third person, amen. And so after Jesus was gone, he, you know, was with the followers for a while, and then he went away. And here they are. And the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That is so important. It is so important that we gather together. Do you remember during the pandemic, they were trying to stop us from coming to church? And they didn't want people congregating in even small groups in homes. Now, who was doing that? Who was doing that? That was the enemy. Amen? Because when the church comes together, there's that power. There's that anointing. Amen? And so we look at, in Acts, their Savior is gone. But the Spirit of the living God comes on them with this great power and anointing. And they continued steadfastly. Now, do you think that it was dangerous for them? Do you think maybe they were being hunted down? Yeah. And it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. I really think that the day is going to come when each seat in this place will be taken. Because as the day approaches, I think that maybe God has to shake the church and wake the church. But the day is coming. But I think what I am saying is that it's very important, especially when calamity strikes, especially when we see things happening that is spoken of in the Word, that we get together. That we are together. And they tried to stop us. Amen? The enemy tried to stop us. But I remember, yes, being home in my house, and I remember I said, Lord, we were still on the phone line, right? We were putting, or how were we doing it? The messages on the phone line. But I said, but God, you know, there's things that you want us to do. And I said, Lord, I'm going to go for a walk. And I want to bring someone to the Lord. And I said it in a positive way that I felt God was really going to do it. You know, I'm going to walk outside my house. I'm going to walk down the street. And I want to pray with somebody, Lord, because this is just a waste of time. We're sitting here. Of course, we're with you. We're praying. We're reading the Word and all of that. But, you know, and to much to my amazement, I was so amazed. I was in shock because did I really think he was going to answer? I'm being real. So I walked out the front door and I walked to the street and I started walking down the street and I heard, hi. There was a woman. Hi, hi, hi. I said, hi, 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 yay, yay, hi. So she came and we walked and then we stopped and she said she was moving off the island. And so I started, it was an opening. I don't remember what the opening was. And I took it to telling her about the Lord and the days that we're living in. The next thing I knew, I was laying hands on her and praying. And I went home and I said, oh my God, what just happened? You did it. Why do we say these things and then not believe he's going to do it? It was the easiest thing. It was like cotton butter. She was so ready. Hi, never met her before. And, you know, I think that in the worst of times would be the best of times. Because I think that I don't know. I see the church, even if there are more restrictions or whatever, I see the church being freer, and that's what God wants. So they were breaking bread together, and they were getting together. And, you know, many of them died, and they knew that the enemy in human bodies were after them. But it says that, even in Acts 2, verse 43, the next verse, it says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were brought through the apostles, were done through the apostles. So there was a godly fear, I believe. You know? Because what do I do at a time like this? What do I do? What am I supposed to be doing? When we had to stay in our homes, what did God want to accomplish? What did he want to do in us and through us? Acts 2:44 says, "Now all who believed were together." That is so important. "And had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need." It was like a barter system, you know? And the unity, when I read these scriptures, how they probably couldn't wait to get together with their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and be together and break that bread, and, you know, other people were coming in. How exciting! How exciting! Imagine all of a sudden, you know, people are coming in. They're just coming in. The Spirit of God is just calling them and awakening. And this is really what we have to look forward to as things get harder. We keep our eyes on what God is doing. Chapter 2, verse 46. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." Now, house to house, house to house. So they didn't have a church, right? What is this building? This building, we call it a church. But the church is here within us. Amen? And when we get together, when we get together, it could be in somebody's living room, somebody's backyard, whatever. We are the church gathering together. And don't you see that coming? Don't you see that coming? We often said all they have to do is begin making churches pay taxes, and our doors would be closed that quickly. That quickly. But new doors would be opening that quickly. Because are you going to just, like, be able to not see Pastor Diane ever again? Or Mike ever again? Or our worship leaders ever again? Our hearts are going to beat hard after being together, wanting to be together. Let's just get together, right? And do you know those times of meeting times, how strong and powerful they're going to be? So, you know, I think this is the least amount of people we've ever had. Don't you? Look. Look. Where is the excitement about being together? Loving on each other. Saying, "How you doing, brother? Can I pray for you?" Let's start now waking up and really being the church and understanding what the church really is. Amen? You call somebody. You didn't see them in church today? Give them a call. Say, "You missed it." So they were actually breaking bread and going from house to house. Breaking bread must have been so exciting for them. So, so exciting for them. You know, his followers, Jesus, when he had the Last Supper and he broke that bread, when he broke that bread, what happened? Their eyes were beginning to open, right? There was such power. And I think that we need to do that more. And I'm talking about the future so much because I believe that the Word of God is preparing us for the future. And we may not have the delicacies that we have now or the comfort that we have now. I don't know. But we're going to see healings more. We're going to see more people coming in. We're going to be singing in living rooms and hugging each other and laughing and crying together and praying and seeing the answers to the prayers. I ask for that double anointing now. Now. Let's get excited and be the church now. Let's not wait for it. Amen. Let's not wait for it. Verse 2:47, "Praising God they were and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." We're going to see this. So prepare your hearts and minds for it. "The Holy Spirit was so evident amongst them," And that's the key. The Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit evident in your life? Is he your best friend, your greatest companion? He should be. Truly, truly should be. I talked a lot about Smith Wigglesworth and different men like that, that spoke to the Holy Spirit constantly. You know, there was that constant connection with the Spirit of the living God, and that they would be able to hear his voice clearly. The Spirit of God is with us, in us, on us, around us. Do we talk to him? Do we say, good morning, Holy Spirit? Do we? Yes. Because he is the one. He is the tool for these days and the days to come. It's the Spirit of the living God. He comes with power. He gives direction. He gives direction. And we're going to need it. God is getting the church ready to be the church. How could they be the church without a building? Is that possible? Isn't this the church? These walls? And isn't this the church? They were getting together daily, breaking bread, remembering the cross, and celebrating it together. And there was joy. Joy. Even in the days to come, crisis will expand the church. The church will, and I think that going to a church that maybe is a half an hour or 40 minutes, you know, these churches now that are, they're just sparking up all over the place. And it's, I don't want to bash anybody, and I'm not, and I haven't been there. But imagine things are beginning to happen. We don't have these four walls any longer, but yet we're getting together in homes, wherever. Imagine all of a sudden the awakening that's going to happen come upon us. Wow. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Wow. I've been reading about this. I've been hearing it. Here it is. And I'm here. And I'm here. David Wilkinson said when he was still alive, right before he died, he said, this is the last generation, people. This is it. He called it the last generation, and that we are last generation people. Amen. So God picked you to be alive at this time. So contrary winds will even lift the church higher, as we see in the book. Remember, in the midst of the pandemic, they did not want us to get together. The enemy knows when we get together in his name, for his sake, we get together. We are the most powerful, powerful thing, group, people, powerful in the whole world. And the enemy will try to break us down and keep us apart. Amen. Do we love each other? We love each other, right? Yes, that's good. That's good. I'm not questioning it, but I am. But we're going to love each other so much more. I believe that our brothers and sisters, younger, that have children will be like our children, you know? Annette, you felt that, right? So much love, love of God, and that will keep us going. It'll keep us going. But you know what? Getting back to the Holy Spirit, I want more of the mind of the Spirit of God. My mind wanders all day long. I mean, it really does. And I really want it to be disciplined and have more of the mind of God. And I pray for that, Father, for all of us. In Jesus' name, the mind of Christ, God. Now, Lord God, in the days to come, Lord God, the mind of Christ. Father, that our hearts will beat faster, knowing that we are thinking, Lord God, your thoughts, and we are able to accomplish, Father, what you want, that we'll be mindful, Lord God, of the hour, and mindful, Lord God, of what you are calling us to, in Jesus' name. So I want to really talk about a resting place. That's what's on my heart. And we have to rest in the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, because he provides a resting place for us. If we could feel his company more and hear his voice more, life would be so much greater. And he gives us strength, the Spirit of God. He leads us. He guides us. He's the voice of the Father. He's the heart of God, Spirit of God. So I'm trying to drill this in to myself as well as all of us, because we need him. And it's very, very, very important to be led by the Spirit and hear that voice. Now, Jesus said to his people, right before he took up and took off, wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And they did, right? We know that. They gathered together and they waited, and all of a sudden there was a rushing wind and the Spirit came in. And what did they do? They ran outside with power. They started preaching. They started laying hands on the sick. So our prayer should be, Spirit of God, I want you to land on me. I want you to lead me, fill me. You understand? Let's let that be our prayer now and in the days to come. I want more of the Holy Spirit, guiding, leading, voice. And it's the Spirit's power that as we pray for each other, lay hands on someone, boom, someone is healed. Have you ever prayed for someone and they were healed? Lift up your hand. I remember, Debbie, your hand didn't go up, but I remember that your brother-in-law was in this church, Vinny, and you prayed for him, and he said his back was bare, but he felt your hand on him, and the pain went away, right? And you just, he was just here like for the first time, and you just put your hand on him. You didn't even know, probably, about his back, and he turned and told you that. So this is what God has put inside of us. We haven't even opened up some of the packages yet, the presents, the gifts that he's given us. A resting place. It's very important when we have to go through trials or tribulations or hard periods of time, even maybe the world, in the world, we have to have a resting place. What is that? You know, we hear that the latter glory will be greater, right? Than the previous glory. And I'm looking forward. I'm really believing God, taking him at his word, that the things that are going to be taking place and the world will be growing darker and the church will be growing brighter. And the church will be expanding and growing brighter. We're going to have our hour, people. It's coming. Go to the Lord, go to your little room or wherever you meet with the Lord, and let's call it our resting place. go to the secret closet that causes us to come out stronger. When we meet with the Lord, there has to be an addition. God is one that he brings multiplication. He blesses and he blesses and he blesses and he wants to bless. And you know what? The world will know us. They will see us. Even, I believe, in a store, you know, with other people. And they will say, something's different about you. I believe that. The natural eye will begin to see supernatural things and crave for them. You know, my granddaughter-in-law was working at Chick-fil-A. I think that's the name of it, right? And she said that after church, a lot of Christians would come in there and order food and eat together. And she said, you know, I would see people all the time coming in, like every day of the week. But on Sunday, these people would come in, and they were coming from church, and she said, and they loved each other so much. This is Brittany. That, she said, that's what I would say about them. They were these church people, and they loved each other so much. Thank you, Lord. Give us more love, Lord God, one for another, and even love for the lost, Lord. Unconditional love. Lord, give us that unconditional love. And Father, that they will know that we are real by our love. There's a latter rain coming. Are you ready for it? God is searching for a people that trust him, a people who trust him. In the last day, God will be raising up a specific people to do specific holy things. You know, we're talking about the eclipse, and so they're saying on April 8th, which is tomorrow, is going to be an eclipse. So an eclipse, we know, is when the moon passes between the earth and the sun, right? And it blocks the sun. And so still somewhat a little bit of darkness there. Everything kind of gets dark all at once. And the sun can't be seen for a little while. The light from the sun is missing. The devil wants to come between our God and our vision of his mercy. The enemy has a spiritual eclipse for people. He wants to black out the sun of God. And remember Peter in the Word of God? Jesus told him, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Remember he said that? I see sifting. I see Chuck has gone through a sifting. I see our brother gone through a sifting. You know, God will allow the enemy to do things because he knows who he is allowing this to happen to. Amen? And they will have an increase, an even greater understanding, I believe, of God. It was a dark time for our brothers. A lot of us have gone through dark times where they had to consider all things and maybe even question some things. But God was adding the increase. What do you think, Chuck? If we don't recognize the hand of our enemy behind this sifting, we could be defeated. The way out of this blocking spiritual eclipse is to believe and rest in the love that God has for us. God will allow your faith to be tested to show you how he rejoices over you and is resting in his love for you. He would never give us more than we could bear. He believes you will come through. And he'll allow some dark hours. The devil tries so hard at those times, especially to shake our faith. Peter, you're going to go through. The devil wants to sift you like wheat. And he did. Peter, I'm going to build my church on your faith. God was testing Peter in Matthew chapter 16. God will test us so that we change, so that we mature, so that we call on him more, so that we have a testimony and the power of a testimony. Meanwhile, the enemy is trying to shake our faith. Why would God allow this? Now look at this. It's hurting every part of my life. Finances. My body. Marriage. I don't know. But God is saying, you are my son. And I will not take my hand off of you. And I will accomplish that which I desire to accomplish. So an eclipse blocks out the sun and it gets a little dark. And it seems the sun is no longer there. The enemy tries and will try to block out your vision of the Son of God. Matthew 24 gives an account of the difficult things that will happen on the earth. Jesus was telling his followers, amen? There will be wars and rumors of wars. He said, and everything's going to get worse and worse, like a woman, a pregnant woman giving birth. He said, also, there will be false prophets. Do you know, can you think of anybody when I say that, a false prophet? You can think of a lot of them, right? Yeah, they're out there. They're out there. Let's pray for ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. There's deception all around us. Let's pray for the Spirit of truth. In the future, some people will be asking, maybe some people in the church will be asking, where is God? The time of trials and tribulation is coming. But, you know, isn't that what Jesus said? Trials and tribulation, right? And Jesus said, Peter, the devil is asking to sift you as wheat. And I'm pretty sure the devil got permission. But Peter came out of his tribulations with an understanding and a better knowledge of God and a better love and a more love for people. And you read first, second, third, you read Peter's writings and you see that this man had so much depth in the Lord and understanding, and he was a power-packed man of God. But Jesus said and warned him, the devil wants to sift you like wheat. And we watch what happened. God was going to make Peter a pillar of the church. He had to go through the test first. He went through a sifting like wheat. And we see people go through so much, we wonder sometimes, where is God? You know where he is. Somebody say it. When people are going through so much, where is God? Right there in the situation. Amen? Amen. So, but we must learn to rest in his love. Never, ever be drained of the belief that God loves us, that he gave his son, and that he even had to turn his back on Jesus for a little while. Jesus cried out, Father, where are you? What happened? That must have been the worst part of his suffering. Jesus, the Son of God, I'm alone. I'm hanging on a cross. Where are you? Wow. Wow. God is right there. Rest in his love. What a beautiful word that is, rest. Is that a beautiful word? Think about it. Godly rest. It's beautiful. It is like a little baby bird in the nest, you know? It is to learn how to rest, to be able to rest in the future. Stacy, you are learning so much. And you are growing leaps and bounds, and the blessings are coming. Amen. The enemy has great wrath, we know, because his time is short. And he's going to pour out his wrath on the ones he hates the most, the church. The church. He will shake the church, come against her, as he did in the days of old. David Wilkinson said, this is the last generation. All hell is coming after you, the church. But God would never give us more than we could bear or handle. Amen? And if you're here, you know, speaking like this, you're being prepared. You're being prepared. I'm being prepared. Some are going to fail. Their hearts are going to fail from heart attacks because of the days that are coming. What about people that have a lot of money in the stock market and the market crashes? These people are maybe going to think, I have nothing to live for anymore, right? Emptiness. That might be your neighbor, and you'll be able to say something to them. You'll be able to tell them about Jesus Christ. And more than likely, in their pain and sorrow and even anger, it will remain with them. And the Spirit of God will come and water that seed. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Maybe they didn't have ears to hear. Don't you worry about that. But you spread the gospel. You just do it. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus said that. Believe also in me. I will come again. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then Jesus speaks about the Comforter. Do we know the Holy Spirit as the Comforter? We know him as the anointing of the Spirit. We know him as a healer. We know him. But there's a place that the Spirit of God, I felt this for days that God was telling me. There's a place the Spirit of God has prepared for you, and it's called your place of rest. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe also in God. Believe in me. I will come again. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he speaks about the Holy Spirit after that. Some are going to lose their jobs. Some are going to lose their homes. Some will lose confidence. Like the sun, an eclipse, God will seem to be absent in the last days for some. There will be a barrage from the enemy. But he who promised is faithful. Amen. Holy Spirit will be with us. You know, let's practice the presence so that we feel the Spirit of God stronger. We feel the Spirit of God stronger. Because the Spirit of God wants you to be able to feel Him, hear Him, receive His comfort and His strength and His truth. So practice walking with the Spirit, speaking to the Spirit, listening, fine-tuning the ear. He will remind us in our worst times of God's love and His power, and the power that raised Jesus from the dead, and His eternal love. The Holy Spirit will open up these things to you. As you read the Word of God and you see something, even though you read that portion so many times, and you see something new, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And there's many, many, many levels to the Word and to your walk in God. Many levels. The Holy Spirit will be with us till the end and will remind us of God's love for us, His power that raised Jesus from the dead, that His love is eternal. But that power will come upon us. It will take away shyness. Father, pray, God, that Your Spirit will fall on us with power, power of the Holy Ghost. Father, that You would lift off the shyness that we have, the embarrassment even, God, the fear, Lord God, to open up our mouths and speak truth. Father, I pray, Lord God, that You hear the heart of every person that is praying that right now. Father, that You would give us an unction of the Holy Ghost, an unction that the Holy Spirit will lead and we will follow, that the Holy Spirit will give us words, fill our hearts and mouths with words that would bring comfort, healing, salvation, redemption. God, we can't do anything without Him, God. We know that. We're asking for more of a portion, ever increasing portion, Lord God, till You take us home. I think that the reason why we don't talk about God to people that are not saved is because we're afraid. That's fear. What are we afraid of? Somebody. What? Yes, rejection. But in that is, what will they think of you? What do you look like to them? Foolishness? Some holy roller? You see, it comes down to pride. Isn't that terrible? If you really look at it, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. Who cares what they think about you? Let them think whatever they want. You just deposit that seed. Who cares? It's more important what He thinks about us. Amen? So let's start opening up our mouths in a sweet or powerful way, whatever God gives you. Be aware that the Spirit is with you. Be aware that the Spirit wants to do so much through you. Through you. We are mature Christians. We're not babies. As the days grow darker, as things get worse, the church will arise with joy, with love, with strength, with victory. Amen. The Word of God in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 16. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem. Now we know when the Word of God is speaking to Jerusalem, He's also speaking to us. Amen. Do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness or singing. He will quiet you with his love. What a resting place we have. He will rejoice over you with singing. And when it says he will rejoice over you with singing, I looked that up. You know what it means? He will rest. He's calling us into a holy rest now and in the worst of times to know his rest. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will rest and call us into the resting place. This portion of scripture was spoken over Israel, and so shall we be blessed as brothers and sisters of Israel. Jesus asked Peter 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I'm going deeper with you, Peter, because Satan wants to sift you as wheat. Peter, do you love me? And as Peter was being sifted, I'm sure he could hear the Lord saying, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And then Jesus started to say, they're going to take you. Going to be in prison. Feed my sheep. Amen. Any word like that is also for us. Feed my sheep. We live and we have such good lives. We have freedom. Right? We don't know what next year will look like or the year after. But God, my God, I believe his presence will increase. I truly do. Don't lose sight of the goodness of God, the love of God. Don't lose sight. Don't let the enemy block your sight from seeing the Son of God and what he went through with you in his mind. What he went through for you. Always remember. Always go back to the cross. Go back to the cross. Always go back to the cross. There is a resting place that you have to develop. I think it comes from your prayer closet. But you know, the resting place is, if you're going through a very difficult time, I kind of feel like if I'm going through a difficult time as a mom, that could be my children, right? Grandchildren. Difficult time, whatever. And you start getting this stirring up inside of you. It's called worry. We start to worry. We're frail. We start to worry. Especially one of my kids, you know what I mean? Mama Hen. That's the time that you have to look for the resting place. It's there. It's there. It's got your name on the door. That's the time you've got to go in and you've got to find peace in the middle of the situation. And when God calms you down and there's that peace, that's your resting place. It's inside of you. And you learn to carry that, you know? You learn to carry that with you. You know, you've heard me say many times when I had the breast cancer and before I had the surgery, I would get like, you know, shook up every once in a while. And I would have to just go in the room, close the door, and all I kept repeating, because you're not going to cry to God, you're not going to say this, that, and the other thing, and all I kept saying was, which helped me anyway, I just kept whispering, Father. That's what I would do, over and over and over again, till all of a sudden, it would lift off of me. I just kept calling Father. He's my Father. I'm your daughter. And I would get that. And maybe it would last a half a day, sometimes a day. But then I would go back there because I'm frail, right? And I would whisper, just get really, really, really still. You know, really, really still. And then I would call him. It was a whisper, but I knew that he could hear that, of course. And then I could enter into his rest. There was no other way for me. Enter into his rest. And then, boom, I broke through with faith. It came. He just added and added an increase. He just gave it to me. And I just faced what I had to do. And I knew that I knew God was with me. He heard me, you know. But it's the resting place I found in the midst of that turmoil that I was going through. It was a resting place. It was supernatural. Came off of me. Amen. That resting place. We're going to need that resting place as time goes on. More, I think. That's me saying that. That resting place. That you come out of that resting place. And everybody is going to be looking at you and saying to themselves, maybe drinking, drugs, maybe they're on medication. What is it? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. All right, Peter. The enemy wants to sift you as wheat. I'll be right there with you. Be at your side. I feel God is asking the same thing. Do you love me? Hold on to your faith. Do you believe me? Feed my sheep. There are so many unsaved sheep out there. They're not saved yet. They haven't even tasted yet because we haven't fed them. You are a part. You're a part of the fold. Go out there and bring them home. There is a resting place. You are developing it in your prayer closet. It travels with you. It is presence. We carry it. We carry it. You may think that, you know, well, I don't fast that much. Well, I really haven't spent time with the Lord in a couple of weeks. I've been running around. You don't understand. Yes, those things are all important, but you have the Holy Spirit. He is with you. He's not going to leave you. You've got the Spirit of God. You are carrying a torch. Inside of you is a great light. It's the Spirit of the living God. And that travels with you. It's presence. Rest in the Lord. Enter into his rest. Rest in your beloved. Believe and rest in the love of God. Believe and rest in the promises of God. Believe he is with you and for you. God is not a man that he should lie. Enter into his rest. Matthew 8, 23 to 26. Jesus is resting in a boat. He's sleeping in a boat. And this boat is being tossed. You know, there's a storm, a great storm, great waves. So if Jesus was sleeping in the boat and these great waves, Jesus must have been tumbling around a little bit. But he must have been so tired. You know, men can sleep through these things, right? But he must have been getting thrown around a little bit down there, sleeping, because he's in his rest with his Father. And here, the men come down, Jesus, Jesus, we're all going to die. There's a storm. Goes up there and he speaks to the waves. He speaks to the wind. Amen? Because Jesus knew how to rest. He knew how to rest. Before he was crucified, he wasn't resting. He was going through the worst of the worst. And he said, guys, stay with me. They all fell asleep, right? He was in such turmoil that blood was coming out of his pores, what I read. That's pretty bad. So he had to go through that agony. He had to go through that pain. He had to go through that for us. That was just part of it. That was just part of it. So that when we hear of the suffering, we would fall in love with him. We would want to follow him. And it's encouraging to know that all that he did for us, only us, how important we are. Hear that torrential downpour is coming. The guys are going crazy. The tide is rising. There's crashing against the boat, threatening to capsize. The passengers are all screaming, and Jesus is resting. Matthew 1, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. His yoke is easy, right? And it's light. I don't have the full explanation of that portion of scripture, but I want to know that more. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. I understand that partially, and I ask God for more of an understanding. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'll carry it for you. I make it light for you. I'm in this with you. Whatever you're going through, I am there. When you feel me the least, I am there. Maybe in an even greater way. Psalm 91:9, because you had made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, who is your dwelling place. A lot to think about, right? Amen? To cultivate a resting place inside of you. By the power of the Spirit, by prayer. You know, and no matter what we're going through, times of refreshing will come from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know what? Why don't we just all get up and come to the altar for a little bit here? Everyone, spend a moment. Come on. Thank you. Father, we just contemplate everything that was said, God. Our eyes are on you. We want to bless you. We want to bless you. Father, I ask that you give us more of a thirst and more of a hunger to take that Bible, God, to digest it, to eat it like food, Lord God, and truly digest it. Father, that we have an understanding of who we are in you. We're not the common man. Father, that we have an understanding, God, of your love for us. We know that you love us. We know, for you so loved the world. We know, but we want to see it and taste it and sense it and live in it. And for it, the understanding, the revelation of it, God, to grow within our members. Father, we pray, God, that we would be very sensitized to the Spirit of the living God. Father, that we would be able to hear him. He is your heart. He's your soul. He's your mind. He is you, God, with us on earth. That we would begin even practicing more to walk in the Spirit. Maybe we'll make some mistakes, but Lord God, there we are, your little children, grasping for more of you and to be more obedient to you. Thank you. Thank you that Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Give us presence. When we feel your presence, God, our heart melts. We truly want to walk in the Spirit, Lord, until we close our eyes, take our last breath, or the Lord returns. To be in the Spirit, operating in the Spirit, Lord God, with the power of Holy Ghost might. We want more, Lord. Awaken us, Lord God. Father, I pray, God, that we will cultivate a resting place, because we're going to need one. Where we go in the stillness, Lord God, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wings. Under the shadow. The best place to be all the time. Father, give us such a hunger. Such a hunger, Lord. For more of you, for more of Jesus, for more of Spirit of God. Give us such a hunger. Make us so hungry, Lord. Father, when we open up the Word, speak to us in a strong way. Give us such understanding, revelation, clarity, Lord God. Draw us closer, Lord. We thank you that your eyes are on us. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the answer. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you are the answer. We can find you. If we search for you with all of our hearts, the Word says, we will find you. All of our hearts. Our whole being following hard after you day by day. And as we see times growing darker, Lord God, we, Father, will expect gifts from you, the light shining brighter and brighter within us. Miracles, signs, and wonders. You took men. You took 12 men. And then 11. And you made them great apostles. Great. We want to be great for you, God. We truly do. We truly do. Father, pray that this word would penetrate in our hearts, Lord. Me, starting with me, all of us, oh God, that we reside, become a member in within us, Lord. Stay alive within us, oh God. In Jesus' name, oh God, give us boldness. We see in Acts the people, the new church, the living church, had boldness. Now we must be bold, Lord, and use it in the right way. Thank you, Lord. Sue, is Sue here? Sue, would you close in prayer, please? And we have to hear you, okay?
This message today, I know that it's gone deep into each one of us, Lord. Lord, the times that we spend with you, Lord, need to be so much more important, so much deeper, Lord God. Lord, draw us to that rest. Lord, if we're there, draw us deeper, more and more and more, Lord. As the times change, and as we need you more.
Mm-hmm.
Lord God, but as others need what we have, Lord, Lord, I pray that you will help us to take that rest and put it into others as well, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord God. Be with us this week, Lord God. Keep us at peace and draw us near. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you all. If you need prayer, stay up here.